Anyway, I have to apologize for not being here yesterday, but somehow I got wrapped up in this kirtan program that we had. It was very nice. Everybody was wearing Vaishnava tilak, because they're all disciples of Purushottam Goswami, who's the father of Sri Vatsa Goswami. And probably you've probably heard of Sri Vatsa Goswami. You may not have heard of Purushottam Goswami, but you may have heard Sri Vatsa Goswami from my old friend Subhananda's book. What did he call that one? Hare Krishna, something like that. He interviewed different people. So they're from Radharaman Temple, and so he's preaching our Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy. So everybody in the whole town was wearing Gaudiya Tilak, but special Gaudiya Tilak. I don't know if you've ever noticed at Radharaman Temple, they have, just like we wear, but in the middle there's a little black line. Anybody know where that little black line comes from? Oh, we have somebody who knows. Yes, from followers of, because our line is coming from Madhvacharya. So if you've seen the followers of Madhvacharya, they simply have this little black line. One time this Peshawar Maharaj came here 3 or 4 years ago when the 750th birth anniversary of Madhvacharya was there. Then they came on big tour, so many buses and 3 or 4. They have 8 Mat Adishwaras. You know, there's 8, their system is there's 8 Acharyas. Each one has got his own particular mat or ashram. And so one is in charge of the Udupi temple for 2 years. Then another one comes, another one. They rotate around like that. So during the, I guess that would be 14 years that they're off, 14 years they're off the altar. So that 14 years they do collecting. And then for the 2 years, they spend all of that collection on the deity worship for 2 years. Like that. So several of those Mat Adishwaras came here. Major one was Peshawar Maharaj. I don't know, his actual name is Viswatirth. But his Mat, each of the Mat has a different name. So his Mat is Peshawar Mat, so he's called Peshawar, but it's Viswatirth. So he came here that time. Then we saw everybody has this little black line. So our line is coming down, so all the Goswamis from Radharaman Temple, they're all called Madhva Godeshwar Acharyas. So they have the Gaudiya Tilak and this Madhva Tilak, both to illustrate that we are coming down through this Madhvacharya Sampradaya. So anyway, everybody in the whole town was wearing Vaishnava Tilak, so it was a very wonderful experience to go someplace and see all the villages, especially in this UP. Not so many people know so much about Lord Chaitanya as in Bengal and Orissa. So it was nice to see everyone with Gaudiya Tilak in this small village that we never even heard of. Our Sankirtan bus never even went there. Our Sankirtan bus ever went there? You went to Shikarpur? Really? It's a little village off the road, so anyway, somehow or other we must have gone there once, but not very often. So it was a very nice experience. So anyway, somehow I got wrapped up with some small details of that program, mainly getting the money for the bus, and Maharaj was giving his lecture, and so I figured everybody was already late. I better send the bus and I will come the next day. So I apologize for coming one day late. So I've been meditating on this, how to present. This is Braj Leela. And I've been meditating for a long time how to present. There's many different ways. We could start from the beginning of Krishna's Leela, from his appearance, and go through. Or we could follow the Rajmano Prakama path and go that way, we could then another possibility was to follow the Astakaliya, the daily Leela, but then that would jump us all around. And then we may get accused of being in Gopi Bhava or something, so we've skipped that one. I think Braj Mandal Prakrama is the easiest way to go around and discuss Braj Leela. Then we'll go one place and discuss the different Leelas, even though they won't be in the order of the Leelas, they'll be in the order of the places. And one of the most common questions I was getting before the class started was, is there any homework? I had people asking, is there any homework? Was there any test? So, personally, I hated school, I hated homework, and I hated tests. So I assume the questions, since that was the major question, everybody else feels the same. So I already did all my schooling. I have no desire to go back to school. I'm surprised that I'm teaching, but... So there's no test, only test is to remain awake. And only homework is to go and visit these places sometime. And also, since I didn't like school, I didn't like tests, didn't like homework, I didn't like classrooms either, so today is probably the only day we'll meet in this classroom unless it rains or something. But you'll have to come to, if you miss one day, then you'll be lost. Because we're not going to have class here in this classroom every day. In fact, tomorrow, I don't know if you've ever seen our beautiful garden in the Goshala. But if you haven't, you're going to find it, because tomorrow class will be in the Goshala garden. So you'll have to come every day, or you'll have to find out from someone in the class where the class is every day. That way we can get in more in Braj mood. Although it's already something Braj mood here. We have nice pictures of Krishna and Prabhupada. And of course Prabhupada is the whole reason that we're here. Just like one time, we were hearing the other day pastime of Vishal. At that time he got chastised. But another time, Prabhupada came out of the temple and Vishal was there and he was going, Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai! Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai! Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai! So Prabhupada stopped, you know, and planted his cane firmly on the ground and looked at him. He said, so you like this place? And Vishal said, oh yes, Prabhupada, oh yes. And Prabhupada, with a flick of his hand, he said, so it is yours, enjoy. So that is the power of the pure devotee. Just with flick of hand, he can give you Vrindavan. It is yours, enjoy. Vishal will be somewhere in Florida. Very nice, warm place. So Braj Mandal Prakrama usually starts in Mathura. Now somehow, Mathura is not one of my favorite places. I don't know if that's an offensive statement. But even Krishna himself, he didn't like Mathura either. Because all the Vrishabhadis know by heart, and if you go through folios, you can also find Prabhupada quoting this verse, Vrindavanam parityajam paramekam nagacchami. Vrindavanam parityajam. You know the word tyag, so this comes from that tyag. Parityajam. That to, tyag means to renounce or to leave something. So parityajam, completely leave. He said, Vrindavanam parityajam. I never even so much leave Vrindavan. Padam ekam nagacchami. Not even pad, you know pada. Like this padayatra, foot, huh? Padam ekam. You must have learned by now, ek, do, teen. Huh? One, ek, pad, ek. Even one step. I don't even think of leaving Vrindavan. Gacchami. You know when Bhagavad Gita Krishna says, Dadami Buddhi, I give Dadami. So this is gacchami, means to go. This first person, Krishna speaking. Vrindavanam parityajam paramekam nagacchami. I don't even take one step outside of this braj. So it's described that actually between this Braj and Mathura, there's some sort of invisible line. Where exactly it is, I'm not exactly sure. But there's some invisible line between Braj and Mathura. Although, in one sense, Mathura is also part of Braj Mandal, but still, Mathura's got his own special bhav. So even Krishna, he doesn't go there. That we'll discuss later. So, but anyway, Braj Mandal Pikama starts at Mathura at Vishram Ghat. You know Vishram. After doing Parishram, there's two things. One is Parishram. This Parishram you probably know because one famous verse is there in Srimad Bhagavatam. What is that? Srama eva hi kevalam. You know this verse? What is that? Dharma sunustita punsam visvaksham. Is that the one or is it another one? I get them all mixed up. Visvaksena kritha ruchi. What is it? Anyone know? Ah, that's the one. Takpum Vidrija Sestas. Strama Eva Hikevalam. Maybe something more. But anyway, anyone who follows all of the rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharm, but he doesn't develop any Krishna consciousness, then it is all Srama Eva Hi Kevalam. Very heavy. It's Sanskrit. When you just put one tiny little word, it changes everything. You know, so Eva already, you know, is, that means certainly. So when you put Eva, that already emphasizes the fact. But he says Srama Eva Hi. Now he's put another word. He also is certainly. So certainly and certainly. Again, we got certainly. Srama Eva Hi Kevalam. Kevalam means only. Again, this is another heavy Sanskrit word when you stick it in the... So three heavy words are there. Srama, eva, hi, kevalam. It is certainly and more certainly only shram. What is shram? Shram means hard labor. So it is just useless hard labor, parishram. So when one does parishram, then natural the next thing is vishram. And when it's shram, other is vishram. One takes rest. So, we may already know that this Vishram God, after Krishna killed Kamsa, he took rest there. But even before that, there's some Leela. Many, many millions of years ago, when Lord Brahma appeared, after lifting up the earth from the bottom of the Garbhodakshaya ocean and doing away with this Hiranyaksha, then he was very tired. He had to dive down and pull up this earth. And then kill that Hiranyaksha. So he was very tired. So he knew that the best place in all existence, that is Mathura. So he came there on the bank of Jamuna and took Vishram. He did a lot of Parishram. He had to kill that rascal and lift the earth. So there's a lot of Parishram. So then he took Vishram. He took rest on that Vishram Ghat on the bank of Jamuna. So it is famous even from millions who can estimate. I don't remember, was that in Satyug? Maybe Satyug, I think. Yeah, it was Satyug. So all the way from Satyug, this place is famous as Vishram Ghat. Not just 5,000 years ago, but even from Satyug, it is famous as Vishram Ghat. Lord Brahma himself took a rest there. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Mathura, then the first thing he did was he also went to that place and he took bath there at Vishram Ghat. So that is where our parikrama starts from, this Vishram Ghat. So first Krishna, first Lord Brahma, he took rest there. Then Lord Krishna, after he punched out Kamsa, because he did a lot of work that day, he had to come in, he had to. What else did he do in Mathura? First he ran into the washerman, I think. Or did he run into Kuja first? First the washerman. So then he saw all these beautiful clothes. So he thought, oh, this is very nice. So they said, you should give some of these to us. He said, you rascals, this all belongs to the king. Why you want to usurp the king's property? So Krishna, just without even sword or anything, just cut off his head just like that with his hand to prove. Angani yasya sakalendriya. We're singing every morning. Angani yasya sakalendriya. His all limbs can do the work of any limb. Not only work of any limb, even beyond the limb. Usually that sword is held in the hand, but without even holding the sword in the hand, just without even using his chakra. You can consider chakra maybe also one other ang. So all of the angs can do everything. So even his hand can act just like chakra. So then there was the Malawala. His name was Sudama. Now you'll find, outside of Braj, Krishna's most favorite friends, they all have names just like people in Braj. Just like in Braj, there's one, Arjunsaka, who's one of the 8 gopas. So outside of Braj, we find that Krishna's got a very good friend named Arjun, who we all know from Bhagavad Gita. So similarly, this florist, his name also was Sudama. And when he went to Dwarka, there's also, even before Dwarka, when he was in Ujjain, also one friend was there, Sudama. So all of these are very dear to Krishna, because in Braj also he has one friend named Sudama. So anyway, this florist was very dear to him, and florist, he was immediately offered him so many garlands, so Krishna was very happy. So then, next he ran into that Kuvalya Pita, so then he had to kill that Kuvalya Pita, so a lot of work he had to do. And then he had to fight with these wrestlers, and then he had to fight with Kamsa. So after all that, he was very tired, he's just a little boy, so he's very tired. So he went to the Jamuna, took his bath, it must have been some blood, you know, from this Kuvalya Pita, there was some blood, and when he punched out Kamsa, must have got some blood, so he took his bath, and he took his Vishram. So Mahaprabhu also, when he came, then he took his rest there on that Vishramgat. Now it's described that actually there's 25 places right there alone. One is Vishramgat, and on the north side there's 12 places, on the south side there's 12 places. That's 24 plus 1, 25. So therefore we find in Bhakti Ratnakar, he says, O Srinivas, in this crescent moon-shaped place, there are 24 tirths along the Jamuna. So you'll see there, Jamuna makes nice little crescent moon. And all of the, in the middle is this Vishramghat, and with very nice, so many bells are there, beautiful Artik. If you want to see beautiful Jamuna Artik, then that is the place. I've never seen. I've only heard. I have seen Jamuna Artik here in Vrindavan. That you can also easier see. If you go, there's no fixed time. The time is when the stars appear in the sky. When you see the stars, just the stars begin to appear in the sky, then that time at Keshigat, then they do this Artik of Jamuna. Same thing in Mathura. When stars are appearing in the sky, then there's this Artik on Keshigat and Vishramghat. Anyway, so I don't know these, I don't go there very often. The pandas are very heavy there, so it's not my favorite place. So I'll read something about it, these places. Well, Srinivas, in this crescent moon-shaped place, there are 24 tirths along Sri Jamuna. The first one is called Avimukta Tirth. And Adi Varaha Purana, you know, we just heard the Varaha, what Varaha's connection is with this Mathura, so that's why we'll find many, many quotes from Adi Varaha Purana as we go through here. It is stated that one who bathes here is liberated, and one who dies here, without a doubt, goes to Vishnuloka. The next place is Guya Tirth. Again in Adi Varaha Purana it says, one who bathes at this place attains liberation from the material world and goes to Vishnuloka. According to the Sora Purana, this next place is known as Prayag Tirth, is rarely attained even by the demigods. By bathing here, one gets the same result as by the performance of an Agni Stoma Jagya. The next one is Kankala Tirth. Adi Varaha Purana says, by bathing here, one attains supreme opulence and heavenly happiness. The next place is Tinduka Tirth, where one is promoted to Vishnulok. The next place is Surya Tirth. Surya, of course, you can understand is sun. It was here that Bali, the son of Birochana, performed his austerities. Bali performed some austerities? Does anyone know this history? It's interesting. Anyway. So this Bali Maharaj performed bathing here during the lunar or solar eclipse on Sankranti or on Sunday will give one the same benefit as by forming the Rajasuya Jagya. The next one is Vataswami Tirth. Whoever serves this place with devotion on a Sunday will recover from disease, gain wealth in his life, and attain the ultimate goal after death. Next place is Dhruva Tirth. It is here that Dhruva did tapasya. And actually, when we go to the next forest, we'll find out that's the actual place where Dhruva did his tapasya. But anyway, he must have come over here sometime while he was staying there. The Adivirana Purana says, by bathing here, one is certainly promoted to Dhruvalok. Whoever performs the Shraddha ceremony here, especially during the Pitri Paksh, that's just before Kartik, the month before Kartik, the first half of it is called Pitri Paksh. That's when everybody does offerings to the forefathers. They have so many. That's when the Shraddha ceremonies and so many different ceremonies take place. And somehow or other during that time is considered inauspicious to give charity. So if you're trying to do life membership, those 2 weeks are... you have fun trying to convince that this is giving to Krishna is transcendental to all of these rules and regulations. So anyway, whoever performs the Shraddha ceremony here, especially during the Pitri Paksha, will guarantee liberation for the ancestors on his father's side. Then Skanda Puran says, offering oblations to the forefathers Dhruvachars gives one 100 times the results obtained by performing the same ceremony at Gaya. Whoever performs japa, homa, tapasya, dan, or puja also attains 100 times greater results as by performing the same activities in any other holy place. So here's some scriptural, because these are all, although they're talking about specific place in Mathura, it always refers to a whole of Braj also. So 100 times greater. Then the next place is called Rishi Tirth. One who bathes here attains Vishnu Loka and Krishna Bhakti, devotional service to the Lord. This is both in Adi Vraha Purana and Skanda Purana. Then south of Rishi Tirth is Moksha Tirth. A bath here guarantees liberation. Then Koti Tirth, which is rarely attained even by the demigods. I guess Koti means 10 million, 1 crore. By bathing here and giving in charity here, one becomes worshipable in Vishnuloka. Not only goes to Vishnu, he becomes worshipable there. Then Bodhitirtha, by bathing, one goes to Pitriloka. Anyway. So these are the south tirthas of Vishranti. Vishramgad is also known as Vishranti Tirtha. So then next comes Navatirth. And north of Navatirth is Asikund. Neither now or in the future will there ever be a tirth in the world like Navatirth. Next place is called Samyamana Tirth. One attains Vishnuloka. Then Dharapatana Tirth. By bathing here, one attains happiness unavailable even in heaven. And by dying here, one attains Vishnuloka. The next place is Nagatirth. One attains Swargalok. And by dying here, one attains Swargalok. And by dying, one is freed from rebirth. Next place is Ganta Bharanatirth. The next place is Brahmatirth. Whoever takes bath here, drinks the water, sits here undisturbed with restrained sentences, by the provision of Brahma, he will attain the abode of Vishnu. The next place is Somatirth, one who properly is situated in Banashram Dharma and bathes here in the pure water of the Jamuna, he attains the happiness of Somaloka without a doubt. This place is known as Sarasvati Patanatirth. By bathing here, one attains the qualities of a sannyasi, although he may have no right to be a sannyasi. Then, next is Chakratirth. If one fasts for 3 days and then bathes here, he becomes free from the sin of killing a Brahmin, and what to speak of other fruits that he gets. The next, there's also a Dashvamedha Tirth. If one bathes here in a contented mood, he easily attains heaven. Next place is Vigna Rajatirth. One who takes bath here attains all auspiciousness and freedom from all sins and miseries. And then there's another Koti Tirth, which is always supremely pure and auspicious. One who bathes in this holy place delivers the same result as 10 million baths in the Ganga. From Mathura Kandita stated, "Hey Yudhisthira, on the northern and southern side of Visranti, there are 24 tirths. The 12 on the north extend up to Dashwamedha, and the 12 on the south extend to Moksha Tirth." So these are all very important places, because Mahaprabhu himself, when he came, he bathed in all the 12 on the north and in all the 12 on the south after taking his bath at Vishramghat.
Which
of
the best one to die in?
Best one to die in is here. Krishna Balaram Mandir. Prabhupada's lotus feet. No, same. They're all right next to each other. It's hardly, you know, like 100 meters this way and 100 meters that way. Maybe 200 meters each side. So they're all very close. Then also, one thing is not mentioned there, but actually before we go on our Braj Prakrama, we should take permission for our protection from Lord Shiva. Because we'll find all over Braj, there's five main Shiva temples, but here in Mathura alone there's four. So the most famous, when you're going to the train station and you cross under the bridge, there's one great big guest house, and they're called Sriji's Antares International Guest House or something like that. Somebody is there, and two big elephants are there in the doorway. So then you go under that railway bridge, then right behind there a little ways is Bhuteshwar Mahadev. So Bhuta means ghost. So this is Lord Shiva as the leader of the ghosts. I don't know if you've ever seen a picture of, because now very soon this Shivaratri is coming. Shivaratri means the night when Lord Shiva got married. So I don't know if anybody's ever seen the Bharat of Lord Shiva. Bharat means the marriage procession. Anybody's ever seen a picture of that Bharat? Not only we saw a picture, we've seen diorama. Every year, our Mahamantra from Delhi, he takes us to his hometown. Then we go to one place nearby called Renukut, where Birla has one of his biggest, or they say it's the biggest, Hindalco company is there. So right near the factory, there's this beautiful Radhakrishna temple with so many mirrors inside. When you look, you just see unlimited Radha and Krishna. If you look down that way, then you see unlimited that way, and then you look that way and there's unlimited. You look back, you see the backside of Radha Krishna unlimitedly. You know, every direction you see Radha and Krishna. Very wonderful place. So on the side, he has so many dioramas there. And one of those dioramas is Lord Shiva's wedding procession. You ever seen a picture? So most strange personalities, even you couldn't dream. You just think of what is your worst dream, whatever monster you saw, and your worst, even that, it's worse than that. I mean, just most obtuse, strangely shaped creatures are there with big long necks and all of the bones in their neck sticking out and their ribs sticking out and just all kinds of, because Lord Shiva, he takes care of all of these somehow, because he's very easily pleased. So somehow or other, if Lord Shiva is pleased with them, then they can get their birth in a human body. So he takes, they're all his followers. So he's Bhuteshwar, the leader of all these ghosts. So somehow or other, you must see one picture of Lord. Somewhere I saw one, two posters I've seen of this, and then one diorama also I've seen of this. Most incredible, just, you know, completely black. One creature was there, a completely black lady with, you know, just few teeth in her mouth and straggly hair and skinny little breasts like dried up string beans or something. And completely black with just some little grass, you know, grass skirt like you would see in Hawaii or something. all kinds of creatures like this. So this is Bhuteshwar Mahadev. An interesting temple. You have to go down. He's down in the... Oh no, he's not down. Patala Devi is down. There's one Devi temple underneath Bhuteshwar Mahadev. And then you have to go down. Patala Devi is there down below. So then, that's one corner. Then another corner, there's, or since we're on Bishram Ghat side, so there is Pipaleshwar, underneath one peepal tree. Because there's peepal tree, just like in front of Prabhupada Samadhi, this is the peepal tree. It is also known as Ashvata. In Sanskrit it's called Ashvata. This peepal tree. Very, very medicinal and very, very auspicious. He's very whitish in complexion. Actually, if you go to the Krishna Balaram tree, well, one day we'll have class there also. So underneath Krishna Balaram tree, we'll have class one day. So that Krishna Balaram tree, there's one Sami Vriksh, and then sitting on his shoulder, there's this white tree coming. That is also a peepal tree. And the peepal tree, very easy to recognize. Because one time, we'll get to that pastime later, but one time, Krishna, he was asking his mother, he said, Maya? Maya? What is this tree what's leaf has got a tail? What is this tree what's leaf has got a tail? So if you see the leaf, he's shaped just like a little heart, and then it comes down and his little poonch, little tail is there. Now you see him with this great big tree in front of Prabhupada Samadhi. So this is peepal tree. So there on the bank of Jamuna, so many peepal trees are growing there. And also banyan trees are there. You see just roots just tangled completely in, broken and got apart and tangled and being held together by the roots. So one, underneath one peepal tree, there's one Pipaleshwar. Then, another side of Mathura, there's one Rangeshwar. Because Ranga means that is the place where all the different types of, how do you say? Anyway, that's where the wrestling arena. But also any type, it's just a big arena where it's something with some... amusement park, you can say, means that it's run. Amusement park. So maybe some amusing thing will happen, or maybe some sport thing will happen. So just near that place where that wrestling match took place, there's one Rangeshwar Mahadev. So, fourth one we're missing. Pipaleshwar, Bhuteshwar, Rangeshwar. No, that's in Braj, but just in Mathura, there's four. Yeah, I don't go to Mathura so much, so I forget all these. So fourth Mahadev is also there. Anyway, now we're on Bishram Ghat, so that Pipaleshwar Mahadev is there. Very beautiful. So just behind Bishram Ghat, little ways, we'll find there's one Dwarkadish temple that somebody has made in modern times, because Dwarkadish has nothing to do, and we don't like to go there because Radharani is one place and Krishna is another place, and that we don't like to see. Even Prabhupada told you should not keep picture of Radharani without Krishna. So what to speak of keeping her on one altar and Krishna on another altar. But we're only mentioning that Dwarkadish temple because that's the only way you'll find this place. And if you go by that Dwarkadish temple, then when you're facing the temple on the right side, there's a little path, and you go up that path and you keep asking for the Braha Mandir. And if you go up, there's two. There's one Swet Braha Mandir. If you try to go inside, even though you're white, Swet means white, so even though you're also white, if you try to go inside there, they will chase you out. Somehow I snuck in one day. I was with a whole bunch of life members and they just walked in and I was just with them and somehow I got in. Even still, they just began to throw in so many insults. You think just by putting dhoti and tilak, they become Vaishnav? He was telling in Hindi. But I knew Hindi, I could understand what he was saying. So the life members, they became like fire on him. He was just throwing insults. You think you just shave your head and put some tilak in. Actually, I was taking it as very beneficial instruction, because it's not just that we just put some tilak and put on dhoti and shave our head and we become Vaishnava. But Vaishnava means that we have to actually surrender to Krishna. I have to surrender to the spiritual master. So I was taking, he was giving me very good instruction. But anyway, Light Members all became very angry on him. But anyway, skip that one. If you go past there, but anyway, you have to find the Svetvaraha to get to the Lalvaraha. Lalvaraha means red. Red Vraha. So you first ask for that Svetvaraha, then, you know, he's off to the, you have to make a right somewhere and they'll say, then after you go past him, and then the road turns, there's no other way to go. The road just turns to the left and goes straight into the temple. And there they're very friendly. One, I think Trilokina Chaturvedi, or Trilokeshwar Chatur, something like that. One very nice Brahmin is there. Because all the Brahmins in Mathura, they're all known as Chaturvedi, or they, usually we shorten it, just Chobe. Mathura is all full of Chobes. But anyway, this one, he's at the Lalvraha, he's very sweet and very, he lets you come right up on the altar. Not on the altar, but I mean, there's up, you know, there's down, you can take darshan from down, but he'll let you come right up to the door and you can take darshan. Now, very interesting about that darshan, because this deity has very, very long history. Because we know when that Satyug, the earth sank into the bottom of the ocean. So, just like you see, wherever there's some water sitting for a long time, it becomes, you know, a little blackish and dirty. You know, it's the bottom of the universe, so we can imagine. We see wherever the bottom is, that always fills up with dirt and dust and so many things. So, this is a nasty place. So Prabhupada says, to get things from a nasty place, the best thing is hogs. If you have to, just like we described the other day in class about this hog. Anyway, so Lord Vishnu, he took, while Lord Brahma was thinking what to do, all the demigods came and said this Bhumandal slipped down into the bottom of the Garbhodak ocean. He also was thinking, I'm not going to go down there, get it? So, while he was contemplating what to do, then out of his nose came this little braha, this little boar, just hardly bigger than a thumb, just popped out of his nose. And then suddenly, in front of everyone's eyes, he expanded, very gigantic, and he began to make so many wonderful transcendental vibrations that were shaking the whole universe. And all the devotees became very happy, and they all began to chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So then that Lord Boar, after exchanging loving reciprocation between his devotees, he went down, he plunged into that Garbhodak ocean, he pulled up the earth, then he killed that Hiranyaksha. So Lord Brahma, he was so fascinated by that form of the Lord. The Lord has taken form as boar. This is most amazing, because boar, we don't appreciate this form so much, but when Lord has taken form of boar, then it is transcendental and worshipable by us. Even one time in Los Angeles, there was one very, very famous pujari named Shilavati, who was very, very dear to Prabhupada, and she was worshipping Radha and Krishna there very nicely. But she went to Prabhupada one day, because she was very upset because she had dream that Prabhupada came to her in dream and gave her Braha deity to worship. Of course, it's transcendental, but still we're more attracted to Radha and Krishna. But still, when Lord takes form as boar, then it is transcendental and worshipable by us. So Lord Brahma, he was thinking, this is very wonderful. This boar, a very wonderful thing. The Lord has taken form of boar. He is so fascinated. So somehow or other he got one deity made of this Lord Boar. And he began to worship that deity. Now it's very interesting, because most of the time I've seen pictures of the Braha incarnation or statues, then earth is usually a round globe on top of his tusk. But this one was made by Lord Brahma, this deity. And Pujari has the signature of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur certifying that the history of this deity is true. His Prakamapati came there and he signed that I have heard the history and this is the actual history of this place. So on that Lord Braha, if you go up on the top step and you look in the altar very submissively, then you'll see very clearly he's actually sort of reddish, because he's Lal Braha, because there was two descriptions are given in Srimad Bhagavatam, one dark Braha and one light Braha. So this is Lal Braha, red. And you'll see on his tusk, completely flat earth is there, with so many tall mountains. It's like we read in fifth canto that earth is flat and so many mountain ranges, this Manasutara mountain range and the Lokalok mountain range. So you can see, on carrying on his tusk, if you look closely, you'll see flat and so many mountain ranges are there. This one was made by Lord Brahma. He's the manufacturer, so. Just like, you know, when you get your latest model tape recorder to tape all the classes in Mayapur and Vrindavan, you know, then they give some little sheet and has the whole diagram and everything. So it's made by the manufacturer, so you know this is the actual diagram. So this one is made by, this deity was made by Lord Brahma himself. So anyway, Lord Brahma, so how did he get here to Mathura? Anyway, Lord Brahma, he was worshipping that deity for a long, long time. Somehow, in the benediction, he gave it to Kubera, who's the treasurer of the demigods. So Kubera, he was worshipping. By worshipping that Lord Braha, somehow he got unlimited wealth by worshipping that Lord Braha. He's good for treasure. So, but then one character came named Ravan. And Ravan, he conquered over the heavenly planets. He found out this Kubera, he's worshipping this Braha deity. He's getting unlimited wealth. So he captured that Braha deity and took him to Lanka. There we see Lanka is all completely, was made of gold. So, because even though this is interesting, you know this Ravan, he was demon. He was also Brahman, so he could understand all these things. Ravan was actually Brahman. In fact, when we went to Ujjain for Kumbh Mela, then they had one Mahapandit Ravan cold drinks. One stand was there. Somebody's also a devotee of Ravan there, I guess. So anyway, so he brought that Braha deity. He took him away from Kubera. He was worshipping. Then later, when Lord Ram, he finished off this Ravan, then he also found this Braha deity is there, so he took it back to Ayodhya. And when we get to the next forest, we'll finish the story. But anyway, somehow that deity also came to Mathura, and he's worshipped there just around the corner from Dwarkadish temple. But probably tomorrow when we get to Madhuban, then we'll tell the story how he ended up in Mathura. That's also very interesting. But anyway, that same deity that was worshipped in Satyug by Lord Brahma, and this story was certified by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Prabhupada. So that deity is also there just behind. So then as we travel around Mathura, there's a Prikama path that also goes around at least the old town of Mathura, and a little bit outside also. So many places are there. On one side there's a place called Krishna Ganga. That's probably the closest to, that's on our Vrindavan side. Now if you just go a little ways from there, you'll find this Ambikavan. Just in the corner of Mathura, one Ambikavan is there. Now this is very interesting because in Krishna book, Prabhupada describes Ambikavan as being somewhere in Gujarat, on the bank of the Saraswati River in Gujarat, which is exactly in Sridhar Swami's Tika about this particular pastime, he mentions that. So, but all the other acharyas, they mention that this Ambikavan is there, next to Mathura. So somehow or other, maybe different kalpas, whenever Goswamis have run into these different descriptions like that, then they say in one kalpa it was there, one kalpa it was there, when this pastime is performed. Anyway, there's one Ambikavan is there. So we remember that Ambikavan. We don't remember Ambikavan. One time, Nanda Baba, he wanted to worship Ambika Devi, was another form of Parvati, wife of Lord Shiva. So he packed up all of the Brajavasis and they all took off and they went to this Ambikavan there on the side of Mathura. And they worshipped Devi very nicely and then they all went to sleep just there. It was on bank of Jamuna, so it was a very beautiful place to take rest. They all took rest. Somehow in the night, some huge serpent came and began to swallow Nanda Maharaj. And when he began to cry, then Krishna woke up and he came there and he touched that serpent with his lotus foot and immediately it turned into a very beautiful demigod. And there's also some history behind that demigod, how he got cursed to become a serpent. But I'm not prepared. I just, as we were going around Pratura Mandal, suddenly I remembered this Ambikavan is there, so I hadn't prepared that as part of the class today. But anyway, somehow there's some history how he became a serpent. But anyway, Krishna touched him with his lotus feet, and he became liberated from that curse. So anyway, that is the place. And right near there, also there's one Gokarn Tirth. That's the fourth Mahadev. Because there's one Gokarneshwar. There's one Shiva Ling there, and Gokarn is also there. One deity of Gokarn and one Gokarneshwar. He's on the other. That's the fourth deity of Mahadev we're missing. Now we got it. All four. Bhuteshwar, Rangeshwar, Pipaleshwar, and Gokarneshwar. So you know the history of Gokarn. So, there was one Rishi, somehow or other, his wife couldn't get any child. He was very upset. So, I can't remember, some... But some Rishi, I can't remember what the Rishi was. Rishi came and he begged some benediction from that Rishi. And Rishi said, yes, you take this fruit and feed it to your wife, then she will automatically become pregnant. So then, that Rishi, so he gave this fall to his wife. He thought, you know, he told her the instruction that Rishi has told you, eat this fall. Then she thought, this is so nice, he was just like modern women, you know, they don't like to have babies. So I haven't had babies. Everyone else has babies. They have to take care of them. And so much trouble is there. And better I don't, you know, they have to carry this thing for 9 months. Better I not eat this fruit like that. So her sister was pregnant. So she made some deal with her sister somehow or other. You just give me your child and I'll say it was mine. And you take this fruit and do whatever you want with it. So she fed that fruit to the cow. So somehow that cow, because this was prasad given by this great Rishi, so that cow, she gave birth to a human being. But he had big long ears, just like cow. So therefore, Go, that everybody knows Go, and Karn, you also know, from Mahabharata we know Karna, huh? So Gokarna, he's like human being, but he has big long ear like a cow. So this Gokarna was born. Meanwhile, sister had baby and she gave that to her sister. But that fellow, he was a complete rascal. He did every type of sinful thing and just was... Every type of sin he could think of, he was doing. He was just, his parents became so upset, poor Brahman, he was so upset, he got this benediction, they finally get child, he got child, it was just complete rascal and rascal. So anyway, somehow or other, he went off and just, he left his home, he didn't care anything for mother and father, he just did all nonsense thing. Somewhere along the line, he was killed, and he took birth as a ghost. His next very simple activity, took birth as a ghost. So then, as a ghost, somehow or other, he was wandering here and there, and somehow he found his brother, Gokarn, his cousin brother, Gokarn. So he was begging and pleading, Gokarn, what should I do? Now I'm stuck. I've taken this horrible birth. I'm very sorry. I should never have done all these simple things, but now I'm stuck. What to do? So that Gokarn, he began to ask all around, what can I do to free my brother? It's a long story. Anyway, somehow or other, he ended up, I believe it was Four Kumaras told him that, look, if you, or maybe it was Narad Muni. Anyway, maybe the Brahmins from that area. They told him the only way to get free is by reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. This is the only way he can get free from this curse. So, then Gokarn said, alright, so then he got, they told that you get one bamboo with 7 knots. Gant means knot, so it has 7. You've seen the bamboo comes down and there's a knot in it, you know, then it comes another place and there's a knot, we call it knot. So, with 7 of those. So they stuck this bamboo there, so somehow this, what was his name? Dundukari, he came inside that bamboo. As his ghost, he's just a very fluid type of body, so he came inside the bamboo and was very safe there. So then Gokarn, he began to recite Srimad Bhagavatam. Everyone heard what Gokarn is reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. A big, a whole bunch of people came, they also wanted to hear. So he was reciting Srimad Bhagavatam. And every day when he would finish, one knot would just burst like that. So finally after 7 days, the 7th knot burst. And suddenly this plane came down from Vaikunth. And out from this bamboo came this beautiful forearmed form of Dundukari. And they set him down on that Vaikuntha plane and they took him back to Vaikunth. Everyone became upset. Hey, we were also sitting here listening. We thought sadhus are impartial, you know, this is nepotism. You see your brother, you're giving some favor, and to us you don't. This is, sadhu sees everyone equally, pandita samadarsana. So, Gokarn said, yes, actually, it is not my fault. It's not that I am favorite on him. The point was, he was in great distress, and he wanted to get free from that distress with great desire. So he was listening very attentively. You all guys were sitting here thinking about your bank balance and my business and my wife and what's my child doing, and you were sitting thinking all these things. So you were not listening attentively. So he got the results and you didn't. So all right, this time we'll listen carefully. So then everyone listened carefully and they all got liberated. So this Gokarn Tirtha is there on that one corner of Mathura Mandal. And that practically, after you leave that Gokarn Tirtha, then you're back practically at the Vishramghat. You come to the Moksha Tirtha, and then Moksha Tirtha, you make your way back all the way to the Vishramghat. So also in Mathura, just a little... No, actually it's on the Prikama path. We come to one Keshav Dev temple. Now this Keshav Dev temple, also... The original temple is no longer there. There was a beautiful temple there. But this is a place where Lord Krishna has, at least that Vasudeva Krishna, we'll tell some more other interesting stories when we get to Gokul. But anyway, Vasudeva Krishna, he has appeared there. Because there's Vasudeva and Vasudeva. That's the difference. Vasudeva, he was the father, and Vasudeva, he was the son. So just on one corner of the Prikama Marg, you'll come, there's this beautiful temple is there. But before there was beautiful, beautiful temple named Keshav Dev Temple. In that temple, Mahaprabhu, he danced. Very beautiful description is there in Chaitanya Charitamrita that when he came to Mathura, he went to that Adi Keshav Temple and he danced before that deity. And the history is later that temple was smashed. At that time, somebody came from funny little village just near in Kanpur countryside, Dehat. These are Kanpur Dehat. Dehat means like countryside. What is the name? Raj Nagaon or something like that. Were you with us when we went? After Kumbh Mela we went there. What was the name of that? Oh yeah, Mataji was there. Yeah, Haridev is also there. He's in the next village. So those two villages are next to each other. Anyway, some Brahmins from that place came by and the Muslims were coming, so they said, we'll take the deities and we'll protect them. So they took them there to that, it's Rajgaon, something like that. A little tiny place. And just next door, another little gown is there. So they took from Govardhan this Haridev and from Mathura this Adi Kesha. So Adi Kesha went there. Anyway, we found Haridev. But then someone said, well, next, because we came from a different way. So they said, no, the next village is Adi Kesha. So we went there. So a little tiny temple is there, but the deity is gone. Some dacoits came when, because the pujari, he was very nice pujari, but just like this poor Brahmin, he got son just like Dundukari. So he did all nonsense thing, and somehow he must have made some arrangement with some dacoits. And they stole that deity, so nobody knows this Adi Kesha deity that Mahaprabhu danced in front of. Nobody knows where it is anymore. But Haridev is still there, but we'll get to Haridev when we get to Govardhan. But Haridev deity we saw, very, very wonderful deity. So that Adi Kesha deity, Mahaprabhu, he danced in front of him. Everyone was astounded seeing Mahaprabhu. They were thinking that actually our Krishna has again come, but this time he's in golden complexion. They were so shocked to see him dancing there. So this is the place. Now there's a big temple there, there's a mosque. They knocked down that temple, they built a mosque, then they knocked down the mosque, they built a temple, then they knocked the temple down, built a mosque, then they knocked the mosque down, built a temple, then they knocked the temple down and built a mosque. And now there's a, beside the mosque and more tall than the mosque, there's a great big, beautiful, huge temple. One of the main builders was this Jayadayal Dalmia. And this Hanuman Prasad Poddar, who's founder of this Gita Press, and one Malviya, Madanol, something like that, Malviya. So they have collected donations. A beautiful temple inside, so many beautiful paintings of all of Krishna's leelas are there. And outside, when you walk up the entrance steps, there's a beautiful quote from Srimad Bhagavatam that the saintly persons do not relish a place where their sacred rivers like Ganga or Jamuna do not flow, where it goes on so many things, but its end says where there is no Nam Sankirtan. They don't take any relish. They don't relish any place where there's something. I think it says where there's no saintly persons there, and there's no this, there's no that. It says where there's no Nam Sankirtan, especially since, and in brackets it says, especially since Sankirtan, where there's no performance of Sankirtan Jagya. And then in brackets, especially since Sankirtan Jagya is recommended in this age. As soon as I saw those brackets, of course, just by seeing the English, I could understand. This sounds like Prabhupada. And then when I saw the brackets, I said, nobody could do that, you know. And they would just never think of putting that little addendum to that verse, you know, except Prabhupada. So then I went back and I looked in Srimad Bhagavatam, and sure enough, Prabhupada has quoted this verse. They quoted that verse directly from Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, including his little brackets, especially since Sankirtan Jagya is recommended for this age. Like that. So as you enter in, you see. So in this place, this Kant. And actually, that place is not the real place, that where that big temple and that mosque, neither is the real place. The real place of Krishna's appearance is behind. Because you can imagine if there's a palace, that is, the king's palace will be in a high place, the dungeon will be in a, because he was born in a dungeon, right? So the dungeon will be in a low place. So down from there, if you go down, there's this huge kund called Potrakund. And you'll find, as Devi Shakti was mentioning yesterday, this, you know, somehow the names of these places change a little bit, but you can gradually figure it all out. So Potra, you know, you can see it's just close to Putra. So anyway, where all the sons were born are just near that huge kund, that is very down place. So naturally, king's palace is there, then he'll live on a high place. And have a big, he comes up with a big king, so he has a big palace. And on the low place, that is where you put the jail. So on the low place, you'll find there's a little place there. Not much is there. Just, you can see the feet of, there's some small child feet, and then some father feet, and some mother feet on either side. That's all that's left, because it's where deities were broken. And so many family disputes have been there, so it's never been developed in any way. But many Vaishnava saints, old sadhus, and old Vrishbhasis, they've all told me that this is actual place of Krishna's birth. That's behind, like, you have to go around that kund, a huge, enormous kund. There's never any water in it, but it's a huge, enormous kund. And as you go around, right in the middle of that kund, there's an alley. And you go in that alley, and there's a little sign there, you know, this is the place of, original place of Krishna's birth. And inside sign is there, in completely broken English and misspelled, you know, all the foreign visitors, please give donation so that we can buy a new TV. I mean, so we can build a nice temple. So, this is an actual place where that Kans. Now, it's always interesting how this Kans, he was the son of Maharaj Ugrasen. Maharaj Ugrasen was such a pious. Yeah, I'll just tell a little story because it's always been bewildering how this Kans became the son of Ugrasen, who was such a pious king. Anyway, so this Ugrasen, he had a very beautiful wife. One day she was walking in her garden. At that time, when Asur, I can't remember his name, he was passing by, he saw her in the garden, but you know, these Asuras are tricky fellows. So he took the form of King Kams, and he came into the garden. He took the form of Ugrasen. And came in that garden. So this is how that Kans appears. It wasn't actually son of Ugrasen, but son of this Rakshas. And Kans, actually sometimes I'm very envious of this Kans. Because he was completely Krishna conscious. 24 hours a day he was thinking of Krishna. No matter what activity it was, he was thinking of. They brought him some glass of water, you know, and glass water, sometimes the top of the water sparkles a little bit. So they brought in that glass, he saw the sparkle, immediately he saw Krishna's crown, you know, with his peacock feather. And immediately he called, he threw that water, guards, kill him, that rascal has come, that dust means rascal, you know, that brute dust has come. Even just by drinking water, you know, we're all running around all day, we went to buy Bisli or dewdrops or something like that, you know, it comes to, just by seeing water, he was thinking of Krishna, you know, we're just thinking, where can I get some good water, you know, I'm here in Vrindavan, okay. It's just by seeing water. One time they brought the plate of food. And food, you know, also very nicely, all different, you know, it must have been winter time, so some gajra halava, so oranges there, and just like Krishna's dhoti, and like this, all that, he saw this plate of food. Guards, that rascal has come, kill him. He called all the guards, you know, they all came running, you know. So even, he's, just by seeing prasad, most of the time we see prasad, we generally don't think about Krishna. He had Asti and Prati, were his two wives, Asti and Prati. So they decorated themselves very nicely. They came before their husband. Krishna Maharaj, Krishna Maharaj, come kill him. Hare Maharaj, it's us, your wives, you know. So just even by seeing his wife, two wives. Generally we see the wife, we never think about Krishna when we see the wife. But even by, he was completely, 24 hours a day, his concept was Krishna conscious. So I'm very envious of him. So anyway, I think we've gone over time, but anyway. So tomorrow class is in the Goshala Garden.